Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Nedarim Daf Yud Dalid. We left off on Daf Yud Gimel and Beis right after the Mishnah on Yud Gimel and Beis. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lishmas's mother, called the Basimcha La Shalom, and the Shem Shavan Aliyah. We thank him very much for the continued sponsorship of the Daf. So we read the first Mishnah in the second parak yesterday, where the Mishnah essentially told us the klal that a person could be matvis bedavar another, but not bedavar ha'asr. So first thing the Gemara is going to discuss is that the Mishnah also told us that if a person says chulin sha'ochelach, that whatever I eat from you should have a status of chulin, there is no nether there, because chulin is not asr, so he's not really taking any sort of nether. So the Gemara is going to discuss what exactly is the chiddush of the Mishnah in saying chulin sha'ochelach, that is not a nether. So we're going to have three possibilities of what the chiddush is, that chulin sha'ochelach is not a nether. Then the Gemara is going to quote the source for the idea that a matvis bedavara asr does not work, that he only can be matvis bedavara nador, but not bedavara asr. Where do we derive that from in the Torah itself? And then the Gemara is going to discuss whether a person requires, is it no neder at all, or does it still require she'ela when you say hare atalai ki'ima, when a person says to his wife that you should be to me like my mother is, like arayos are to me. So the Gemara is going to make a distinction between the Talmud Chacham and an Amma Aretz in that context. We're going to quote a brisa that highlights the distinction between the Talmud Chacham and Amma Aretz, and once we quote that brisa that highlights the distinction between Talmud Chacham and Amma Aretz, we're going to explain each line of that brisa on Amud Beis. And that's going to bring us all the way to the Mishnah. The Mishnah is then going to teach us, it's going to start a series of Mishnayos that teach us the differences between Nedarim and Shavuos, which we already alluded to, but the Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to tell us that a Neder only works on a Davar She'yesh Bo Mamish, whereas a Shavua can work even on a Davar She'ein Bo Mamish, even on something that is not an item of substance. It is an activity, it is a thing, it is a state of being, it is sleeping, it is walking, it is working, right? A Shavua could be chal on such things, but a neder cannot be chal on such things. So let's begin with the Gemara on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. So the Mishnah had said, Chulin Sha'ochalach, that if a person says Chulin Sha'ochalach, that is not a neder. So it says Gemara, Taimud Amar Chulin Sha'ochalach. The reason that it's not a neder is because he said Chulin Sha'ochalach. So first the Gemara wants to be Medayik, and this is going to be the first possibility of what the Chiddush of the Mishnah is. The Chiddush is in the Diuk. Ha'amar L'Chulin Sha'ochalach Mashma Lo L'Chulin Lahave El Karban. Sounds like the only reason there's no neder is because you just said chulin sha'ochelach, but the implication is the diuk to make, and the chiddush is in the diuk, that had a person not just said chulin sha'ochelach, but lichulin sha'ochelach, if he said lichulin sha'ochelach, that would imply that it will not be chulin, rather it will be a karban, which is aser, because lichulin would mean lo chulin. Whatever I eat from you should not be chulin, which would be mutar ba'achila, rather should be like a karban, and therefore there's a neder. So if that's the case, if that's the chiddush of the Mishnah, that to say lichulin sho'ochalach is taka a neder, well, mani masnisin, who is the author of our Mishnah that actually holds that? Now, when you say lichulin sho'ochalach, we're going to explain that it means that it's what I eat from you should not be chulin, and therefore it should be like a carbon and be aser. Well, I Rabbi Meir, if we're trying to say that the Tana of our Mishnah is Rabbi Meir, halasle mechlal lava toshamei hein. Rabbi Meir does not hold mechlal lava toshamei hein. If you say the negative side of something, you're not allowed to assume the flip side. You're not allowed to assume the positive side. So you can't say that saying lo chulin sho'ochalach is the same as saying karban sho'ochalach. Lo chulin is lo chulin. You didn't say karban. You're making an assumption that lo chulin means karban, even though there are only two types of things in the world. There's chulin and karban. But still, that's even if it's obvious, right, that's what it means to not hold of mechal lavat ha'shomei ha'ein. So ve'ela, what do you want to say? Rabbi Yehuda, that our Mishnah is assuming like Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that mechal lav ata shomei ha'ein, right? Rabbi Yehuda is the one that holds a Maseches Gittin, that you don't need a Tanai Kafel. And if a person is Megarish his wife because she's an islandess, and it turns out that she's not an islandess, the get is batal, even though he never made a Tanai, a double-edged Tanai, he never made a Tanai in both directions, that if she's not an islandess, excuse me, he's not being Megarisher. But since he said, if she is an islander, she should be Megureshes, we view that as if he said both things. As if he said, if she's an islander, she should be Megureshes, and if she's not an islander, then she should not be Megureshes. So that's the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Oh, so Rabbi Yehuda could be the one that says, lo chulin sho'ochalach, but if it's a, but we're going to assume that rather it's a korban sho'ochalach. Well, then, hainu reisha, we already learned that in Andaf Yud Amid Beis, where we said in the Mishnah that lo chulin sho'ochalach, the neder is chal, and it's asur b'achila. And the Gemara said that only fits Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, that Mechlal Lav Ato Shomei Ahein. So why would the Tana have to tell me this din again, that Rabbi Yehuda holds Mechlal Lav Ato Shomei Ahein? The Ran explains that Bishlam, if our Mishnah is following Shitas Rabbi Meir, you wouldn't be able to ask a Kasha Hainu Reisha, because the Mishnah says Lachul and Shochalach, the Neder Ischal is following Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, and our Mishnah is following Shitas Rabbi Meir, and we would say that Rabbi Meir's Shita, that Mechlal Lav Iyata Shomei Ahein, is only by Kiddushin Al Tanai, where a Meir would hold that a person doesn't want to be Ma'akiv the Kiddushin, even if he doesn't fulfill the Tanai. He's interested in the Kiddushin being Chal. And that's why you need a Tanai Kafel in order to be ma'akiv the kiddushin. That short of a tanai kafel, that kiddushin is going to be chal. But if a person takes a neder with the lashon of lo chulin, well, we could understand that he means karban, because there's nothing else besides for chulin and karban. Those are the only two categories. And lo chulin implies karban. But the Gemara does not agree to such a chiluk, and it says that even legabe this neder, Rav Meir holds mechal lav eyat hashomei hein. And therefore, we have to say that the Mishnah is following Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore we have the Kasha of Hainu Reisha. So the first possibility of what the Chiddush would have been in our Mishnah is that the Chiddush would have been Mechlal Lav Ato Shomei Hein Alibit Rabbi Meir, that our Mishnah could be going like Rabbi Meir and say Mechlal Lav Ato Shomei Hein. So the Gemara rejects that. Rabbi Meir does not hold Mechlal Lav Ato Shomei Hein even in a case of Nedarim. Not only in the case of Kiddushin, even in the case of Nedarim. And therefore, if you're going to say that that's the Chiddush of the Mishnah, that Mechlal Lav Ato Shomei Hein, you're just saying that the Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yehuda, but we already know that, and therefore there's no Chiddush. So now we need to move on to a second possibility of what the Chiddush might be in our Mishnah. Again, if you're going to say chulin sho'ochalach, that whatever I eat from you is chulin, what's the Chiddush? Of course there is no neder. So answers the Gemara, you're right. There is no Chiddush in saying chulin sho'ochalach is mutter. And you also can't say that the reason the Mishnah teaches this din is to be medayik lachulin sho'ochalach the neder is chal. Rather, it's aidi de katani. Since the Mishnah is going to tell us cases where the neder is not chal at all, kibasar chazir, kavod chavim, where you're matfis bedavar asur, you're matfis bebasar chazir, you're matfis b'avod zara, where over there's a chiddush that when you're matfis bedavar asur, the neder is not going to be chal lachi katani chulin. That's why it mentions the case of chulin sho'ochalach, where it's obvious that the neder chal, meaning the Mishnah is setting up a chiddush, that the Mishnah wants to tell me a chiddush, that a neder is not chal when you're matfis bedavar asur, so it sets it up by starting with something where it's clear that the neder is not chal, so it picks the most obvious case where there is no neder when you say chulin sho'ochalach, and that's clearly not a neder. Ravina Amar, a third possibility, that the Mishnah starts with chulin sho'ochalach to teach us that just like chulin sho'ochalach is heter gomur and it's not a neder at all, so too matfis B'davar Asur is not a partial neder. It's not that it's not a full neder. It's a zero. It's heter gamur. There's no neder at all. Hachi katani. This is how you explain the Mishnah. Ve'elu mutarim. The following nedarim on mutar on their own. You don't need she'ela. You don't need to go to a chacham or a beis din or anything. Chulin, and what they're mutter in to such a degree that it's as if you said chulin sho'ochalach, meaning just as it's obvious that chulin sho'ochalach is not a neder at all and doesn't require any form of hatara or she'ela, so too these examples the Mishnah is about to give of being matfis b'davar asur are not a neder at all. That's at least the way the Ran reads our Gemara. The Mefarish reads it a little bit differently, that chulin sho'ochalach does not mean that the guy says the words chulin sho'ochalach. We're not using that neder as an example of a non-neder. Rather, it's saying, Elu mutarin kichulin. The following are going to be mutar like chulin. And that's how the Mefarish understands. It's as if they're total chulin, but not as if, we're not saying as if you took a neder of chulin sho'ochalach. No, elu mutarin, like regular chulin. Either way, it's the same point. The point is that we're just trying to explain that all of the cases of matfis b'davar asur that the Mishnah is about to list are a zero. They're not a neder at all. Kibbutzar Chazir, Kavod Chavim, or any of the other examples listed in the Mishnah. I think we had six examples in the Mishnah. Things that are awesome in the Torah that are not based on a neder that a person took. V'ilo Tana Chulin, and had the Mishnah not said Chulin Shocholach to teach me that, Hava Amina Baisha'ela. I would have thought that if you're Matfis B'davar Asur, the neder doesn't go away on its own, that you need a Shailas Chacham, Midrabanan at least, in order to make the neder. In order to make the neder go away. The Tosfos points out, even though the Lashon of the Mishnah is mutarin, so why would I have thought that you need a she'ela? It says mutarin. Mutarin means it's mutar, means that there is no neder there. So Tosfos says, no, I would have thought mutarin means midaraisa, that that's a statement on the daraisa level that it's mutarin. But midrabanan still requires she'ela, just like we have in the Mishnah on Daf Chafim Beis, where arba nedarim hitiru chachamim, and the Gemara over there says, hitiru chacham means that they need she'ela, midrabanan, that on the daraisa level they're mutter, but it's still going to need she'ela on the darabanan. So we do have such an idea throughout this Masechta that there are things that are mutter midaraisa, but you need she'ela midrabanan. So in order to make it crystal clear that the cases in our Mishnah need no she'ela at all, we start with the case of chulin she'ochalach, where it's obvious that it needs no she'ela at all. So now the Gemara goes back to Ravina's explanation of the Mishnah and says, well, wait a second. This last explanation, Ravina, right? We had three explanations. We had the possibility that the Mishnah is just trying to teach me Mechlal Lavata Shomea Hein. But we said that only fits Rabbi Yehuda and then there's no Chiddush. We had the second possibility that it's just, since we're setting up a bunch of cases that are not a neder, we start with a case that's obviously not a neder. And then the third possibility, Ravina's possibility, that we're trying to be Mechadesh, that in all the cases where you're Matfis B'davar Aser, you don't even need Sheila Midrabanan. So we start with the case that obviously doesn't need Sheila Midrabanan. But really, would I ever had been Ola Aladas that a Matfis B'davar Aser requires any sort of She'ela Midrabanan? Hamid Diktani Seifa, if you just read weiter in the Mishnah goes on to say, Homer Li'ishto, Harei At Alai Ki'ima, that if a person says to his wife that you should be Asura B'tashma Shamita to me, like my mother is Asura B'tashma Shamita, the Chacham were Machmir, that it's not Niter Me'elav, it doesn't go away on its own, meaning you need to do a she'ela by a chacham. So the Sefer introduces a case where you need to do a she'ela. Mechal deresh lo by a she'ela. So the clear implication is that the Lashonos that are mentioned up until that point in the Mishnah do not require a she'ela l'chacham. That it's only in the case of the Sefer where you tell your wife, Harei at laikima, only then you need a she'ela l'chacham. Because if it were true that in the case of the Resha you also needed a she'ela, why didn't it just put all the cases together? Together with the case of saying to your wife that Harei at alaiki ima. Elamai, the cases in the Resha don't require any she'ela whatsoever, and there's no hava amina that they require a she'ela, and only the case of Harei at alaiki ima requires a she'ela. And therefore, the Gemara rejects Ravina's approach to what the Chiddush is in our Mishnah, Elamei Chavarta, Chulin Memela Nasva. Rather, the explanation of the Mishnah is we start with Chulin Shocholach for no reason really. It's just brought Agav the other Lashonos, meaning we stick with answer number two, with the second approach, that once we're planning on listing things that are not a nether at all, we throw the most obvious one on the list as well. The thing that is not a nether at all, which is when you say Chulin Sha'ochalach. So now the Gemara explains the makor for this idea that Matfis B'davra Nador is a binding nether, but Matfis B'davra Asur is not a binding nether. Meaning now that we have elaborated on that one line that seemed extra in the Mishnah, now we're going to go to the core of the Mishnah. The core of the Mishnah is the Chiddush that Matfis B'davra Asur doesn't work. Only Matfis B'davra Nador works. So Minani Mili, how do I know that that's true from the Torah? So Amar Kral, because the Pasuk says, Ish Ki Yidor Neder La Hashem, and it continues, O Yishav Ashuel Lasar Yisal Nafshol Yechal Dvaro V'chol Yotzi Mipiv Ya'aseh. So Yidor Neder is a double expression, so it sounds like he's taking a neder by being matfis on another neder. So ad sheyidor b'davar anadur. If you mean there are two ways to take a neder, you could just take a neder directly that this should be asr to me, or you could be matfis with something else. So yidor neder implies a hatfasa, that I'm taking a neder on another neder. I'm taking a neder that this should be like something that's already nadur to me. So you have to be matfis dafka by something that was nadur, not by something that's aser. If you're matfis with something that's aser min haTorah, then it's not, then the neder is not going to is not going to be chal. The Ran points out that maybe you could have said that the pasuk is teaching me the very din that a neder could be chal with a nusach of hatfasa at all. Maybe it's not teaching me the din that hatfasa, that, you know, a limitation within hatfasa. Maybe it's just being mechadesh the concept of hatfasa. Meaning, I would have thought that a neder means, I say, this item should be forbidden to me. Mehichitesi, that I could say this item should be like that, and now you have to go research what that is, like a clue, like an escape room or something. You gotta look it up and figure it out. And mehichitesi, that works. That's something that's a binding neder. Maybe that's the chiddush of the pasuk. How do I know that it's teaching me a detail within hatfasa, that hatfasa is dafka b'davar anadur? So the Ran writes, no, the pasuk can't be teaching me the very concept of hatfasa, because if hatfasa would have worked had the Torah not told me anything about it also, meaning I would have known hatfasa works because it works midin yad. If a yad works, hatfasa is going to work. So a yad, you don't even say the full sentence and it works. So when you do hatfasa, where you have to just put two and two together and you have to follow the clue, so then of course it's going to work. Shalmi Nadarim points out in the name of the Derech HaMelech that the Ran does not mean to say that hatfasa actually works midin yad. He's just saying that without the pasuk, I would have known that the neder is only when you say that without the pasuk, we would have said that the ikra neder is only when you say something is asr to you, and when you don't say lashon of isr, but your matfis bedavar anadur, it would only work midin yad. But now that we darshin ki yidor neder, even al yidei hatfasa, the ikra neder is not midin yad. Meaning, it's not saying that, oh, how do I know hatfasa works? That's just midin yad. How do I know hatfasa only works bedavar anadur? So that's from this pasuk. No. Once I have this pasuk that also teaches me that hatfasa only works bedavar anadur, not bedavar asur, this pasuk also serves as the source for hatfasa, and therefore hatfasa does not follow the rules of yad. It's not something that is limited to yad. Hatfasa is its own form of neder. So anyway, so ask the Gemara. That's the source that hatfasa has to be bedavar anadur and not bedavar asur. Ihachi afil bedavar asur nami. By that same logic, that anytime you have a double expression yidor neder, that you have to be noder bedavar anadur, that by that same logic you should say that hatfasa bedavar asur works as well. Daksiv lesar isar al nafsho. The word isar is extra. So from the fact that it says double lashon, that seems to say that neder, it could be matfis bedavar ha'asur. So from lesar isar, we learn hatfasa bedavar asur. And therefore, you can't say that yidor neder is coming to be mema'et, being matfis bedavar asur. Maybe both psukim are just teaching me the very basic din. Each one is teaching me the basic din. The yidor neder is telling me that it could be matfis bedavar anadur. Lesar Yisar is telling me you can be matfis bedavar asur, and if that's the case, you can be matfis bedavar asur. So that's not a valid source to tell me that you can't be matfis bedavar asur, only bedavar anadur. So it says, no. Lesar Yisar is needed for another drasha. So Lesar Yisar cannot be there to teach me that you're allowed to be matfis bedavar asur, because Lesar Yisar mi bayale lichedetanya ezo Yisar amar b'tora. What is the Yisar amar b'tora? So we already said in the brisa, if you say hare alai that I'm not going to eat basar, I'm not going to drink yayin, kiyom shemespo aviv, kiyom shemespo rabbo, that's what it's teaching me, that even if you're matfis on something that's asr only to you, then the neder is going to be chal. So since from Lesar Yisar we learned that halacha, so we're able to be memayet matfis bedavar asr on something that's asr to everybody from yid or neder. So we taka our memayet being matfis bedavar asr. So when the dust settles, yid or neder teaches that you could be matfis bedavar anadur and not bedavar asr. But there's one exception. There's one case where you could be matfis bedavar asr, and that is if it's a personal isr. Like you say you're matfis on eating and drinking on a yard site. So that's a personal isr. That's where it works to be matfis bedavar asr. But short of that, you can only be matfis bedavar anadur and not bedavar asr. Now, we had said in the Mishnah that one case where the neder shouldn't be chal, but midrabanan, we require a she'ela, is ha'omer li'ishto harei atalai ki'ima. That a guy says to his wife, you should be asura to me like my mom is to me. So, urminhu, so asking, I'll ask you a stira. We have a brisa that tells us,
Hare atalai kivisar ima, that you should be asr to me mitashmish, like my mother who's an Israelva, kivisar achosi, like my sister who's an Israelva, ka'arlo chikilei akerem, like other things that are asurim bahana'a. So lo amar klum, in all those cases, the neder is not chal, because you're being matfis, b'davar asr. Arayos are a davar asr. Arlo chikilei akerem, these are a davar ha'asr. So it sounds like when it says lo amar klum, that it doesn't require any atara, any she'eli, you don't need to go to chacham, you don't need to go to a beis din. Isn't that against our Mishnah? Because our Mishnah says that poskel lo mimakom acher, that he requires a sheila and poskel mimakom acher. So it sounds like over here that you don't need anything. So isn't this a stira between our Mishnah and the Braisa? So answers the Gemara two possibilities. Amar Abaye lo amar klum midaraisa. But tzarek she'ela midrabanan, that sometimes the phrase lo amar klum does not mean it's an absolute zero. It just means lo amar klum on a daraisa level, but on a drabanan level, you still need she'ela. Rava amar, Rava says, no, we're talking about two different types of people. Ha b'tamid echamim, when the braisa says lo amar klum, that's talking about tamid echamim that take a neder that their wife should be like their mother, because there's no chashash that they're going to come to be matir without a Pesach, even when they're matfis b'davar another. Meaning the concern is that they're not going to, that uncivilized or unsophisticated people, I should say, are not going to know the difference between matfis b'davar asr or matfis b'davar another. And if you tell them that, oh, it's fine when you say harei atalai ki ima, then they're going to think it's fine also when you're matfis b'davar another. So we want to make them go through something in order to undo their neder. Whereas but by tamal chacham you have no such concern, and therefore by tamal chacham you can just let it go. It's lo amar klum. Whereas ba'amaretz, when the Mishnah says you need she'ela, that's by an amaretz who's not a baki b'nedarim, he's not so sophisticated to understand the nuances of nedarim, and if you're matir it for him when he's matfis and neder b'davar asur, he's also going to be matir in his own mind when he's matfis and neder b'davar anadur, and when it's b'davar anadur, the neder is actually chal min ha'torah. That's how the Ran understands that the whole concern is that you're not going to be mechalik between a davar anadur and a davar asur. Whereas the Talmud Chacham, you don't have such a chashash. The Rush disagrees. The Rush writes that the chashash is not that he's going to make a mistake in din, but it's since the Am Haaretz is so ragil b'nedarim, they're choshesh that if they're matir this neder easily, he's going to continue to say nedarim, and ultimately he's going to ask his wife b'davar anadur, and mishum shalom bayis we were machmir on him to try to get him to stop taking nedarim against his wife, meaning he keeps saying things, and the more he talks, the more he's likely to get himself in trouble. So we make it difficult for him to stop saying, you know, to keep say these things. So we make him go through the process of she'ela. So it turns out that since a person by a Talmud Chacham, the din is lo amar klum, the Braisa could say lo amar klum, even though by an Ama Aretz it would require she'ela. So the Gemara tries to bring a raya from a Braisa that the phrase lo amar klum could mean that it's only lo amar klum for a Talmud Chacham, but that an Ama Aretz would still require she'ela on it. That's what the Ran thinks the following Braisa is coming to prove. Other Rishonim say no, the Braisa is coming to prove just that there's a chiluk between the Talmud Chacham and an Ama Aretz. But the Ran understands that the Braisa is coming to prove that the words lo amar klum could be about a particular segment of society and not about everybody. So Tanya, because we have a Braisa that says as follows: Hanoder b'Torah, person takes a shavua b'Torah, that there's a b'Torah in front of him, and he takes a shavua and he says b'zos haTorah she'asakach v'kach, by this Torah I'm going to do such and such, or shalo esakach v'kach, I will not do such and such. Lo amar klum, it's not a binding shavua, because he doesn't mean to take a shavua in what is written in the Torah. His intention is only for the klaf that the Torah is written on, and a shavua needs to be b'shem. So it's not really a shavua b'shem. I mean, over here, even though they use the term hanoder, the Ran points out, there's no, it's not shaykh to be matfis and neder b'Torah, because the Torah is not a davar anadur, so clearly it means a shavua, right? That a person is taking a shavua by the Torah. It's like a Nikitas Chefetz kind of a shavua, that by what's written in the Torah, I swear that, you know, by that which is written in the Torah, I swear to do such and such or not to do such and such. So if he's no Dibur Torah, there's a Sefer Torah in front of him, and he says, by this Torah that I take a particular Shavua, lo amar klum. Va'amar Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan commented on that, even though it says in the Braisa, lo amar klum, mitzarek she'ela l'chacham midrabanan, still requires a she'ela l'chacham, because we're choshesh that if you're matter the Shavua right away, he's going to come to be matter himself, even in cases where min adin the shul would be chal. V'yamar Rav Nachman v'tamul chacham eino tzarech shela. But if he's a tamul chacham who's noted b'torah, you don't need to do a shela l'chacham because the tamul chacham knows that only in this case the shul is not chal. He's not going to come to be matir even in other cases where the shul is chal. So you see that even though to use the term lo amar klum, lo amar klum is only referring to a tamul chacham. But for an amaretz, it's not lo amar klum. For an amaretz, you see the way the Amoraim explained the brisa. For an amaretz, the lo amar klum means he's still going to need to do a shela l'chacham. Period. Now, we had quoted a brisa to prove that lo amar klum, we just quoted this brisa, lo amar klum applies even only to a tamul chacham and not to an amaretz. Now the Gemara brings the entirety of the brisa and explains each of the dinim in the brisa. So Tanya, no de b'torah. So really, our topic wasn't really about no de b'torah, but we used that brisa to prove a particular language, to prove that lo amar klum could be more limited, lo amar klum for a particular segment of society. But once we're quoting the brisa, we'll quote the brisa and we'll discuss the details of that brisa. So Tanya, hanoda b'torah. Person takes, again, noda over here means a shavua. Person takes a shavua b'torah. Torah in front of him, bezos ha-torah, that I'll do such and such a thing, that I won't do such and such a thing. Lo amar klum, the shavua is not chal, he does not have to fulfill what he committed to do, because we assume that what he meant was to take a shavua in the kedusha of the cloth that the Torah is written on, and that's not a valid lashon of shavua. But if he's more specific and he says b'masha kosovba, that I'm taking a shavua on that which is by that which is written in the Torah, that I'm going to do this and this, or that I won't do this and this, dvar of kayam, and then the shavua is chal, and he must follow through on it, because we assume that when he says b'masha kosovba, is he's taking a shavua b'shem Hashem, the shemos Hashem that are written in the Torah. That's like you're being nishba b'shem Hashem, but b'masha kosovba dvar of kayam. If he says both by the Torah and that which is written in it, since he is intending both by the Kedusha of the Gevilin and the Kedusha of the Shemos Hashem in the Torah, so then it's already Dvar of Kayamin. It could be B'masha Kasuba doesn't only refer to the Shemos Hashem themselves. It could be that the entire Torah, meaning he means the entirety of Torah, and the entire Torah, the Ramban writes in the Saktama to the Chumash, that the entirety of Torah is Shem Hashem, that there's one long Shem Hashem that is the Torah itself. That's what the Ramban writes, that if the Sefer Torah is Chasar Osachas, it's possible, because you can't just look at it as words that each have independent meaning and sentences that have sentence structure that means something when those words are put together. You have to look at it as one long Shem Hashem. And if you take away one letter from the Shem Hashem, then you no longer have that Shem Hashem. So B'masha Kasaba might just mean the entirety of the of that which is written in the Torah. So the Gemara is understanding right now that the Seifa is teaching us that since you said Ba and also B'masha Kasaba, the Shvu is Chal. So ask the Gemara, isn't that obvious? Katani B'masha Kasaba. It says we have three cases. If you say that I'm taking a shavua ba, then it's lo amar klum. If you say b'masha kasuba, that's case number two. B'masha kasuba, then it's a shavua. And then case number three, ba b'masha kasuba is also a shavua. Frankly, Gemara katani b'masha kasuba dvar kayam ba b'masha kasuba tzarich lemeimar. Once you tell me case number two is case number three a chiddush at all, you just add it in the sefer. You just make it even more clear that. That you want to take a shavua. So Rav Nachman lo kasha. You can't ask why the Tana has to say the Sefer of the Braisa, because it's talking about two separate cases. Had demachta oraisa a'ara. The Sefer of the Braisa is talking about where when you say ba'u b'masha kasav b'dvarav kayamin, it's talking about where the Torah is, you're not holding the Torah, it's on the ground. V'had denakat le'biyadei. The Reisha of the Braisa, where even just saying b'masha kasav is enough to be a binding shavua, it's talking about where you're holding the Sefer Torah in your hand. Machta a'ara, and the Gemara explains the chilik. When the Torah is not in your hand, it's on the ground, and you say b'masha kasuba daite agvili. It could mean that the intention is for the kedusha of the cloth that the Torah is written on, and not the shemos hakadoshim that are written in the Torah, and therefore the shvua is not going to be chal. But if you say ba'u b'masha kasuba, then it's a binding shvua because you already mentioned the gvilim when you said ba. So when you then add b'masha kasuba, now I know that what you really mean is the actual writing in the Torah and not just the cloth. But nakala biyade, but when you're holding the Sefer Torah in your hand, even if you just say the phrase b'masha kasaba, we know that daite al askaras shabba, that the intention is for the askaras, the shemus hakadoshim that are written in the Torah, because since you're holding it in your hand, if your kavana was to be take a shavua in the kedusha of the cloth that's written, that the Torah is written on, you should have just said ba, meaning that which you are holding on to. You could just say it, you know, this thing. But when it's munach al karka, so the fact that you didn't say ba is not an indication that it's on the askaros. It could be that even saying b'masha kasuba when it's munach al karka, Karka is a reference to the cloth and not to the Sefer Torah itself. What emerges from this whole discussion is that when you take a Shavua on the cloth of the Sefer Torah, that is not a Shavua B'Shem Hashem, and it is not a binding Shavua. The assumption seems to be, the Rashba has a tshuva where he discusses the Rashba, not a tshuva, the Rashba over here in his chidushim on Shas has all arichos whether we can bring a raya from our sugya about whether gevilin of a sefer Torah have kedusha b'chlal, because if it has kedusha l'chora, you should be able to take a shavua by the kedusha of the gevilin. If it doesn't have kedusha, then you can't. And the Gemara seems to be assuming that you can't. There's a shaila in Rav Ozner in Shevet Alevi in Chelik Ches in Reish Lamed. He was asked about a sefer Torah that was extremely heavy, and no one was able to do Hagba on the Sefer Torah. And they realized that if they trim there was large margins, so if they trim the Gvilin and they get smaller Atzei Chaim, the Sefer Torah will be much, much lighter, and that then it will be much more usable. So the Shaila is, are they allowed to cut down the Gilyonos of the Sefer Torah in order to make it a lighter Sefer Torah? So he quotes a Tshuva from Maram Padua, who says that if there's no Takana Acheres for a Sefer Torah, there's no other way to make a Sefer Torah usable, and otherwise it's going to go into Geniza. You're not going to be able to use it at all, that it's mutter to trim the Gvilin, it's mutter to trim the Gilyonos and to be misakin the Sefer Torah. And that way, because the other option is to put the whole Sefer Torah in Geniza, so now you'll only put those trimmed pieces in Geniza. So says Rav Ozner that if it's mamish not possible to use this Sefer Torah, and it's just going to be together with the other non-kosher Sefer Torah, but by cutting the Gilyon, it's going to save it from Geniza, there's makom lahatir. Then he points out, but, you know, my raya from Maran Padua, I have to be honest, is not a great raya. Because Maran Padua was talking about a case where the Sefer Torah was currently puzzled. So he said, okay, cut the gvilin, then fill in the blanks in the Sefer Torah and make it kosher. So at the time that you're cutting the gvilin, you're not cutting from a kosher Sefer Torah. He said, but the case that I'm asked about was that the Sefer Torah was very heavy, but it was not puzzled. And he says, also, I'm very hesitant to say that it's not usable. It's going to go in Geniza. He says, they're heavy Sefer Torah. They don't get used as often. They don't get, they're not the ones that you use on a daily basis, on a weekly basis. People want an easier one. But, you know, every time, every once in a while, when you notice a particularly strapping fellow in shul, you might take out the heavy Sefer Torah and assume that that person will be able to do Hagbar. And so Sefer Torah, to save a Sefer Torah from being the Rosh Chodesh Sefer is not, you know, you're not going to go cutting Gvilin on the Sefer Torah for that. So that's what Rav Ozner writes. There's a tshuva in Rav Menashe Klein in the Mishnah Halachos where he was asked about a Sefer Torah that was very, very old, and as happens sometimes, the edges of the cloth were torn. They had a lot of rips in them. So they wanted to know, can they trim the edges of the cloth in order to make it even so it will look nice for the Hidur Mitzvah, Zekeli Van Vehu, whether they're allowed to do that. So he says, L'chora, it's Heter Gamur, because of our Gemara, that a person is only liat Sefer Torah that's munach al karka, and he says, Harei noder bezeh, it's not a neder, because we assume his intention is only for the Gvilim, so we see that it's not a neder. But he says, L'fia emes, that's not a raya, because you can't say that the Gvilim of Sefer Torah don't have Kedusha. They do have Kedusha. The halach is that they have Kedusha. That's why they have to be put in Geniza, the Teshmishay Kedusha. So whatever our Gemara means, meaning maybe it's not enough Kedusha for a Shavua to be chal on, but that doesn't mean they don't have Kedusha. So to bring a raya from one to the other is very, very difficult. The Pesachei Tshuva has in Yerodei Yosem Reish Ayin Vav, he quotes a Shaar Ephraim, someone got very sick, and the Mumchim said that you need to write a Kameya. This used to be common for sick people to write a Kameya, but it has to be on Or Shel Tzvi, on Klaf Shel Tzvi, that they need to write a Kameya. And the only Klaf Shel Tzvi they had available was to cut out a piece from the margins of the Sefer Torah. So Pesachei Tshuva says, not a Shaila, meaning Manavshach. If it's a Cholosh Yesh Basakana, of course it's Mutzi. You can do anything for a Cholosh Yesh Basakana. If it's a Cholosh Yesh Basakana, it's us. So he's saying, meaning they believed it worked, meaning right, meaning that they, and maybe it did, right? That the that if they were going to write a kameya, that was going to be a refuah, presuming that it was a refuah beduka, that was going to provide the refuah, and therefore for cholish yesh b'sakana, you're allowed to do it, even if there's a chance that it works for cholish yesh b'sakana. Suffik b'koach nefesh, you're allowed to violate any yisur in the Torah, almost any yisur in the Torah, including cutting out a piece in the Torah. Okay, so that's the difference when it's machta versus Nakat Biyade. The Gemara says, but there's another way to explain the Braisa. It could be that the Braisa is all talking about one situation, the machta alara, that the Torah is not in your hand. I don't think machta alara means that it's on the ground, right? We don't have to assume that you're just looking at a sefer Torah on the ground. It's on the bima, it's on the table, it's in the aron. It's the point is that you're not holding it. And the chiddush of the Braisa is dafal gaf the machta alara, that even though you're not holding it, even the amr b'masha kasuba mahani, the phrase b'masha kasuba still works for the shvuah to be chal, because masha kasuba means the shemus hakadoshim that are written in the Torah. And then that as far as the Gemara asking what's the chiddush of the third case of the Braisa, the answer is that the Tana arranged his statements in the order of Zo Vein Tzarech Lomer Zo, that first he writes the din that has a greater chiddush and then the din that has a lesser chiddush. So that's what the Braisa is saying, that if you say b'masha kasuba dvarav kayamin, it's a valid shvua, even if the Torah is not in, you're not holding the Torah. And Ein Tzarech Lomer, that if you say b'masha kasuba, that dvarav kayamin for sure, v'yibay seima, or a third possibility, kula mitziyasa nami dinakal debiyade. The entire chelik of the Braisa, from the middle portion and on, meaning the last two cases in the Braisa, are cases where you're holding the Torah in your hand. The Gemara asks, why do you need to say the Sefer that ba b'masha kasuba dvarav kayamin? The answer is that the Tana is not telling me when you say ba and also b'masha kasuba, v'hakam mashmalan. Kivin dinakal debiyade, once we shift the case in the Braisa to be talking about that it's nakal debiyade, afal gav delomar ela ba, even though you only said ba, it's as if you said masha kasuba. So the first case in the Braisa is where it's not nakalei biyadei, where it's on the ground. And there we said if you say b'masha kasuba, that's going to work. That if you say ba, it doesn't work. Rather, that if you say ba, it doesn't work. Then we said if you're holding it in your hand, if you say b'masha kasuba, it does work. And not only that, third case is telling me if you're holding it in your hand, even saying ba is going to work, because ba means b'masha kasuba once you're holding it in your hand. So that's going to be a binding shavuos. That's a third way to understand the braisa. So now we move on to the mishnah. Again, the next series of mishnayos discuss the distinctions between a neder and a shavua. So if someone says kolim sha'ani that I'm answering sleeping as a neder like a karban, or you say konam sha'ani medaber, that I asr dibur, that any dibur that I do should be like a karban, or sha'ani mahalech, or that I walk, you're asring walking or moving like a karban, or ha'omer li'isha konam sha'ani mishamsheich, a person says to his own wife, li'isha doesn't mean just to a random woman, some have a gear, so li'ishto, which would make a lot of sense, to his own wife, konam sha'ani mishamsheich, that whatever I'm mishamish you should be also like a karban, meaning that it should be also for us to have tashmish. Hareze b'lo yachel devaro. That is a violation of lo yachel devaro. That meaning that is a binding neder. So the Gemara brings a machlok samurayim about a case that emerges from our Mishnah in order to prove a case that appears in our Mishnah. So itmar, it says in the that we have a machlok samurayim as follows. If a person answers with a neder that he's not going to sleep today, that any sleep today should be asur tim b'neder, al tenai that he sleeps tomorrow. So only if he sleeps tomorrow will we know that sleeping today is going to be asur to him, that it's going to be asur for him to sleep today. We're only going to know it l'mafreya. So he's only violating bali yachel dvaro l'mafreya when he sleeps today, meaning he's going to take a nap today. We have no idea if he's violating anything. Tomorrow we'll see if he had violated anything today. So Rav Yudam Rav, Ali Yishtaniyom, Rav Yudam Rav says, don't sleep today. It's asur midrabban to sleep today. Shami yishan lemachar, because you might sleep tomorrow, and then the neder is going to be chal, and then it will turn out that you violated bal yachal, even though the neder is still, hanging in the balance on the tanai. Still, you're not allowed to sleep today because the people aren't so careful to follow through and to make sure that they behave properly tomorrow. Rav Nachman amar yishan hayom v'lo cheshin shami yishan lemachar, and Rav Nachman says, no, it's okay. It's mutar for him to sleep today. I'm not worried that he might sleep tomorrow as well, and then the mafreya he'll be in violation of the neder, because it's biyado, it's totally in his control. He could, do whatever people do to keep themselves awake. He could, pricking himself with thorns, or putting his feet in cold water, or whatever it does to miss, stand up the whole day, whatever he can do to make sure that he doesn't fall asleep. So the Gemara explains, Rabbi Yehuda holds that we're choshesh that you're going to violate the Tanai only if the Tanai is after the Ikara Isser. So the Umodra Yudah Bomer Konam Eina B'Shina L'Machar Imishnayom Sheishnayom, that if today is the day of Tanai and tomorrow is the day of Isser, then I'm allowed to do the Tanai today, meaning that, then you can, it's mutter to sleep that day, because we're not choshesh that you might sleep the next day as well. Kilo mizdar b'tanah of b'yisura mizdar, that a person may not be so careful about a Tanai, but he is super careful about the Isser itself. So Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with that discussion, because then we're going to bring it back to our Mishnah to see how it becomes relevant. Okay, everyone have a great day.